midgets, but some forget his great performances at the Indianapolis 500. I'm Pat Sullivan with another in. Well, Bell Canyon is certainly well known as the king of midgets, but some forget his great performances at the Indianapolis 500. I'm Pat Sullivan with another IndyCast, and Mel, I was listening to a rebroadcast of the 1969 500 on the way here. That was another good day for you.
And you're right, it was, but 68 was a better year.
Pat, finished in the third position in 68.
Yeah, that's right. We had a third, two-fourth, and a fifth in those 8 years.
You know, that's the series that produced some great moments for you, produced some challenging times for you as well.
Well, that's a fact. You know, when we spun and hit the wall in 76, coming off the number two corner, and everybody thought we were done for sure. That was on a Sunday. We had it back the track on Friday, and of course we ran into a problem because we didn't know what the deal was with the wastegate controls at that time. And as we pulled in after missing the race by a quarter of a mile an hour, AJ Foyt says, "You want to know what you're doing wrong?" "Yeah, tell me, friend." And he says, "Oh my goodness!" And so we made the race in Ontario with ease. But we sure didn't that day.
Did you enjoy the IndyCars?
Yeah, we really did. At the Speedway, we only had one car, one engine, and darn few pieces. But we were able to outlast a lot of the rich people, guys with a lot of money and a lot of pieces. And when they would go through their engines and so forth, I'd go through their trash barrels and pick out what they threw away and put it in our engine and run it another year. So we got along really well there.
Well, that's an incredible story because by the time you got to Speedway, you were already well recognized in terms of your mission exploits, but was it still hard to put a program together to race it in Indianapolis?
Well, it really was. In fact, again, financially, that was always a tough thing. City of Lebanon came to our aid in 68, and everybody donated, Boy Scouts and everybody, and we got to pay our expenses that way because of their donation. So that turned out well for us, and third place finish was great, too.
Do you find that some people forget your years in Indianapolis?
Yeah, have you been there? No, honestly, I don't think most people even remember I was there. That was too many years ago already.
But you're here working on a race car. We've seen you in a race car this year. It's still something that you feel very strongly about.
Yeah, you're right. I enjoy running the race cars. You know, we're trying something different with our car this year, and it hasn't been working too great. But we lasted long enough to finish up in the top six, generally. And so that pays a little money, but with Garrett here and his dad bought the race car, a K car, and so we were taking care of it for him when he wants to run, and that's usually every night, every Wednesday night. And so that's what we're going to be doing instead of running my own, darn it.
That's Garrett Delansky, of course. That's a familiar name to people in racing.
Yeah, he just won a race in Missouri, I think it was last week. And, of course, Garrett was telling me that his dad really had a tough time too, broke his back and everything else, and thought he was all done, but now he's back racing again.
Yeah, that's Craig Delansky, got in the Pro Series car and got hurt at Indianapolis. I couldn't help but look, but these young kids today, we've got a couple of phone books underneath him here in the seat, and his kids get younger and younger, but one of the things I've learned in doing this series on the Wednesday night in Mount Lawn is some of them are pretty darn good.
Very good. In fact, the K-Cars put on a better show than the rest of us do. They run nose to tail and make a good race out of it, and not much crashing, not much spinning, fortunately. And so that's real good for them as well as us, and the K-Car field is gaining some stature because of that.
When you first started racing, was your goal to get to Indianapolis?
No, my goal was just to have fun. We ran the three-quarter midgets to start with, and then the modifieds, and then the late models, and we got into a midget in 58 when brother came home from the service, and we've been at it together ever since.
Pretty good success together.
Pretty good success. We have 14 championships all together, 10 nationals, so that's not too bad. 382 wins.
Now, when you got a young kid like a Garrett or some of these kids working in the series, do you try to teach them what it takes to be successful, to get to the next level?
Well, we tried to tell him how to get around the track the quickest way and the best way, and again, he's learned real well so far. And only his he practiced here and then ran Anderson and did well, and of course he was about in a crash that he couldn't help himself with. But we'll see tonight how he gets along with this baseball diamond.
the old adage many years ago where the midgets kept you sharp. Did you feel that was true when you were running speedway cars?
Yes, we always ran the midgets whenever we weren't with the Indy cars, and I think because they are quick, it keeps you on your toes for the bigger stuff, because it's slower but faster.
What was the big difference when you jumped into an Indy car from the midget?
Into a roadster to start with, I thought, my goodness, is this thing big. It was at Trenton, New Jersey, but we made the race and ran 12th, our very first run, so that wasn't too bad, and then we went on from there. Of course, Elmer George's Indy car is what I burnt up in, but the motor went away, so anyway, that was a change in my life for sure, and lost my fingers and everything else, but nevertheless, the Lord's really blessed us with good success in midgets as well as Indy cars, and I wished I had saved some of my money.
How hard was it to move to a rear engine car?
It wasn't hard at all, honestly. It was just like a midget. The Roadster was more difficult getting used to. It drove like a truck, and the rear engine car was actually easy, about as much sticking out in front as a midget, and you just had to remember there's a lot more behind you.
Larry Rice had said that one of the differences he felt was that you could experience a sprint or a midget in the seat of your pants, where the feel for a rear engine car was in your back. I mean, was it a different sensation in understanding how it was working?
Honestly, with the cars that we started with first, they were reasonably small and actually handled somewhat similar to a midget. I felt, and Vukovic felt, the same thing. But as the wings came along, of course, we used a lot more racetrack, and as ground effects came along, we got out of business because we couldn't afford the dyno testing and wind tunnel testing and stuff like that. And about that time, Lindsey Hopkins got tired of Indy cars too, so we went to 76 Indy 500 and out to California also on our own pocket. And after that, we decided to give it back and stay with the midgets.
What you're doing to this day, and obviously we talked about the K car. That is in many ways a spec midget with a motorcycle engine. And you mentioned this is a nice step for a lot of kids who have been racing in quarter midgets
and go karts. They come out of these and climb into the K cars and do really well if the car is set right and everything. If it's not, they look bad. But nevertheless, it's a good step for them to go up. And then of course, if you want to stop at the Focus cars, that's another step. And then the regional national cars. So it is a good way to get your feet wet that I wish I had when I was younger.
When's the last time you've been back to the Indianapolis 500?
Last year.
Do you still enjoy watching it?
Yeah, we do. We enjoy watching it, and we go almost every year. We'll see if we go this year. But we usually do go, and as I think really puts on a good race is competition all the way around the racetrack between various cars, and somebody's not running off and leaving everybody like it used to be.
Do you still have the urge when you watch that? Do you still have that sense that I want to be in the car?
Oh, I think I could do it, but I don't know as I want to. I made some good money running the Indy cars, but I think I could do it. I wouldn't mind trying.
I always wonder what drivers were different before the race in the Indianapolis 500, before the Indy 500. Did you sleep the night before? Were you nervous? Was it a different race for you?
Honestly, we slept on the floor in the garage and then for years, and then I got the motorhome, so we slept outside in the parking lot. But we didn't leave the facility because of getting back in the next morning. And you don't want to miss that race, so we were kind of made sure that we were there and ready. I never had any problem. I always wanted to get done ahead of time rather than being last-minute stuff, hooking up and getting everything ready to fire your engines. And so I was usually one of the first ones in and hooked up and ready, while the other guys were struggling, maybe.
Was there any extra anxiety?
Not really. When I started way back, it kind of sucked you along into the first turn, but starting in the middle of the field, it wasn't too bad at all.
So I just can't imagine what it's like to come out and all of a sudden those grandstands are full of people.
In fact, you're going down the back chute, you can pick somebody as you're going straight into the corner, and then, of course, they zip and they're gone, but you can still pick out people when they move you. Where'd they go? But it is it's fun to pick out things to look at as you're traveling 250 miles an hour, but I enjoyed it, and after, of course, I in 71 and so forth, after getting run over and all that, then we got the cars going again. I wonder if this thing's on a turn when I get to the next corner.
Well, I tell you, the people can just look at the record. The record speaks for itself there.
we had more competitive laps finished than a lot of the good guys, and so that was fantastic for us, and with very little money. And we always finished rather decent, and so that paid pretty well, too. Third place doesn't pay as much now as last place does.
Some of that's relative, though.
Well, it is, and money was worth a dollar then. A dollar was worth a dollar, where now it's not, 43 cents. Nevertheless, it was a good time.
Well, there's very few people who can say they started the Indianapolis 500, let alone have the record you've had there, that you have to have a lot of pride in that.
We do, and of course it's all because of the Lord. He guided me around that joint. It was right after the fire, you know, and everything, no fingers and on one hand, and they trusted me really well when I had to take my last two phases of the driver's test, you know, in traffic. Behind me, they waved everybody off the racetrack. I was out there all by myself, no traffic, so they trusted me really well.
Well, there was a good reason to trust you. Well, the legends of Speedway, Mel Kenyon.
Like when my son's going with me to help me at Morris and Oregon, then I'll take the car.